Well, greetings, everyone. Good to see all of you and the visitors today, the Man Clan. Beautiful Sabbath day, a little warm, muggy out, but summer is here, so we have to expect that, I guess. In my past life, I've been mostly a city boy and not a farm boy. I'm trying to learn to be a little bit more outdoorsy in the place we live now with some animals. But I have never been around or tended to the care of sheep. I've seen many pictures and videos of sheep grazing the hills with their shepherds, as most of you have seen. Very peaceful scene. Maybe some of you have owned and herded sheep in the past. I went to that great storehouse of information on the website, that being Wikipedia. And I found the following under the word shepherd. It said a shepherd is a person who tends, herds, feeds, or guards herds of sheep. I think we would acknowledge that. The article went on to say that sheep herding is among the oldest of occupations. Sheep have value in their milk, their meat, and especially their wool. To maintain large flocks, the sheep must be able to move from pasture to pasture. In times past, the raising of sheep was many times on rugged, hilly areas. And because of that, it was helpful for the shepherd to have a strong stick or staff or crook to balance himself and to help recover a sheep that had fallen or even defend the animal from attack. The Bible has many, many references to shepherds and their sheep. The most important of those references is used metaphorically, that being the great God, Jesus the Christ, as our spiritual shepherd, watching over us as sheep. Christ does care for us. And in our journey of following Him, He pledges to guide and protect and to feed and shepherd over us by the power of His staff, by His might. We are part of God's flock, and we look to Him, our chief shepherd, for salvation. I want to talk this morning about the shepherds that watch over us. And even though I have no experience in physically herding woolly sheep, I understand, and I believe you do too, the spiritual parallels of God being our master and our chief shepherd. I've entitled this message, The Shepherds in Our Lives. The shepherds in our lives. Let's start in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. You know, even as a newborn baby, Jesus' destiny was already set. Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. And when he, and this is King Herod, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5, so they said to him, and they were quoting from Micah chapter 5, in the Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So here we see a prophecy that the Christ would become a ruler and a leader of the people and become a shepherd to them as well. Later, as a grown man, Jesus confirms this by his own words. Let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And Christ has quite a discourse here, speaking about him being a shepherd and his sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11. Let's start in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And Christ did die for each one of us. Verse 12, but a hireling or a paid worker, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, and let's remember that Christ has purchased each one of us also by his own blood. It says, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, runs away. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Verse 14, Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. So Christ truly, from reading this, we can see that Christ truly cares and loves each one of us. We are his sheep that he cares for. And we need to return his love that he has for us by being a faithful member and making sure that we are a member of that one flock and that one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. That is, to be resurrected back to life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So again, we see a very dedicated, a very loyal shepherd, willing to lay his life down for the flock. You know, Christ has an investment in each one of us, no matter how stubborn, no matter how unfaithful we are at times, we have a good shepherd who provides for us, who comforts us, who feeds us spiritually on green pastures. Our shepherd loves us very much. Now let's go back to verse 1 of John 10, back up to verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Christ is that door, the entryway into the sheepfold. To him, to the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. He leads them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do we know the true voice of God's word when we hear it? Verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they, the people listening to him at the time, and it wasn't only his disciples in context here, it was the Jews as well, and all who heard him did not understand the things which he spoke to them. It went over their head. They couldn't grasp it. See, they couldn't recognize his voice. It didn't mean anything to them. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door." Some translations here have gate. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that may have it more abundantly." Our spiritual life to come. Presently we're in our physical life stage. But God's plan has another stage for us, our spiritual life to come. And our spiritual life that's ahead will be much more abundant than this physical life that we have today. Salvation into that spiritual life to come comes by entering through the door, through the shepherd. Nowhere else can you obtain salvation except through the door, the shepherd of Jesus Christ. And we know him by his voice, by the words he speaks, not by how he looks, by his form, because we can't see him. Yet, anyway, someday we will see him as he is. But we know him by his faithful spoken word. And that's how we hear his voice. His voice is his words to us. And he's given his word to us. In John 17, you don't need to turn there, Christ says, "Your word is truth." In John 14, Christ said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The life. And when you see, when Christ speaks of the life, he's talking about that life to come, not this physical life. That's why most of the people around Christ could not understand him. They didn't understand this life to come. "No one comes to the Father except through me." Now let's finish this discourse in John 10. Let's go down to verse 25 now. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you and you did not believe." See, they, even though they heard the words, they couldn't hear his voice. "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So those who are true sheep, who are truly chosen and called of God, are those who hear God's voice through His Word, through the Word of God that's been given to us, and understand it, and then live by it. We have to live by that voice and by that Word. We know that God is calling His first fruits today, the very first of the many fruits to come. You know, occasionally some do come and walk through those doors and come and visit us and sit with us. And they've even, these are brand new people, and they've been reading the Good News magazine, and they've seen the Beyond Today broadcast. And yet once they come and visit, they seem not to fully hear the voice of the shepherd that we hear. It just doesn't click. It doesn't make quite as much sense. And as a result of that, they do not continue their fellowship with us. You know, it's not their time yet. You know, just as most did not believe the words of Jesus when He walked this earth, most could not understand. Most did not hear His voice. It wasn't their time. And many who visit with us, it's not their time. God knows when it's time to call each one of us. And of course, there was a time in our past, if we go back, some not so far back, others decades, we go back, when we didn't ourselves even hear the shepherd's voice. It didn't make any sense back then. God calls at the perfect time when our ears begin to understand. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. As we continue this subject of shepherds and sheep. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Peter is writing here, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you and all of us here should follow His steps." Verse 22, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him, the Father, who judges righteously. He who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And that healing includes physical healing and mental healing and emotional healing that we can go to God and seek and ask. Verse 25, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." You know, Christ died and suffered greatly for us individually. And sometimes we probably don't think a lot about that during the week. We get busy. We run to and fro. We forget our position in His calling, and we forget what Christ has done for us. But He is our shepherd. He's our overseer. And another term for overseer is a guardian. He's our guardian of our spiritual lives. You know, we've all gone astray at times. We've fallen down over the years. Yet we know that there's great comfort and safety in the presence of our shepherd, even though we try to run away from God at times. We know that there's comfort and safety in the shepherd. God cares for us and desires greatly that we look to Him for continual guidance as we travel this perverse world, a very perverse world that we live in today. So, again, we see this biblical analogy of shepherd and sheep and how it fits into our daily Christian walk. You know, we have our chief shepherd, the good shepherd, that we look to daily to care for us. And that shepherd is very sincere in caring for us and supplying our needs, even in perilous times, even in the perverse world that we live in. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, the last book in Hebrews. Verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. The emphasis is on His will, in His sight. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, our duty as sheep is to do the Father's will, to do the shepherd's will, to submit our lives to Him daily. We know that. You know, King David clearly understood the analogies of sheep and shepherd. David shepherded his father's flocks when he was young. David defended those flocks against lions and bears. He wasn't going to let any animal take one of his father's sheep. You know, David used that experience to write probably the most quoted of all psalms. And in this psalm, David applies the comparison of God being our shepherd with the experiences that he had and understood in being a good shepherd himself. A shepherd that guides and protects and is always with the sheep. The shepherd never leaves the sheep. The shepherd will go after a sheep that strays. Let's turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Again, probably the most quoted of all psalms, written by David. I think David was qualified to write this psalm. Beautiful psalm. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. I shall not want or lack anything. My shepherd gives me all that I need. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He brings contentment to us. Verse 3, He restores my soul. He refreshes us. He leads and guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, God will never, never lead us down a wrong path. God will point us toward a path of righteousness. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, fear no harm. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They provide protection. You prepare a table, maybe somewhat like a banquet, before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Our shepherd gives us favor. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, a very comforting psalm. We are God's sheep. And just as physical sheep can wander off and get lost, we as believers can do the same. If we lose sight of our true shepherd and the green pastures that he's provided for us, our carnal nature tends to draw us away to follow the ways of this world, to go off on a different path from others, to enjoy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, as described by the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2. You know, those are the things of the world that we cannot go after and be a part of and love. How long could you and I survive in this evil world without our shepherd? How long would it take if Christ removed himself from our lives? Would we be out in this perverse world in trouble spiritually? One reference that I read described some of the weaknesses that physical sheep have being on their own. Maybe we could see some of these weaknesses in ourselves spiritually, being on our own away from the shepherd. It said that sheep do not have good eyesight, nor do they even have the best of hearing. They are mostly slow animals who cannot easily escape a predator. They have no camouflage, no weapons to defend themselves, such as claws or strong jaws or sharp hooves. They don't have that. Sheep can become easily frightened and easily confused and just blindly follow one another. As true Christians, we may be easy prey for this world and for Satan unless we stay close to the shepherd. The shepherd owns us. He wants to protect us. But yet we have these pulls away from the shepherd into the world. If we drift from the flock, we may allow ourselves to go astray, looking for something new that might endanger our spiritual lives. You know, our nature tends to make us think that the grass is always greener over there. Or is it over there? Well, maybe it's back there. The grass is better there. I've got to go over there in that pasture to be fed. You know, it's best not to wander so far away where we cannot hear the shepherd's voice. He will supply all of our needs and bring us the peace that we really want. We all want peace and someone who loves us. And yet our nature tends to go away from some of those things, searching for love in all the wrong places. An old song of many years ago. When David became king of Israel, he took on a new role. He also became their shepherd. Let's notice that in 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, "Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh." Verse 2. Also, in time past when Saul was king over us, Saul was now dead, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, "You, David, shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. David, as king and shepherd, had to now guide Israel into the paths of righteousness. That was a pretty heavy load to guide a whole nation of tribes into righteousness. All the sheep of Israel are now his concern and in his care. And for many years, good things came to Israel. God blessed them for many years. But those times ended. And the one united kingdom split into the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And soon the house of Israel was made captive by Assyria. And this brought fear to the house of Judah because maybe they were next. Psalm 80, and this was a psalm not written by David, but Psalm 80 was written in the context of these fearful times. Judah was scared that they might be overrun. The people of Judah called out to God for divine help. Let's turn to Psalm 80, verse 1. The people now wanted to entreat God. They had gone off into their wicked ways. They wanted to entreat God now. So what do they say? "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Great God, you are our shepherd. You who lead Joseph like a flock. You who dwell between the cherubim. Shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." So as usual, when times get tough, we turn to God for salvation. And help did come for a while, but eventually all of Israel, both houses, were made captive by their enemies. And of course, God allowed this to happen. And he allowed it a lot because of the disobedience of the people. Gross disobedience. Breaking all of his laws, including profaning the Sabbath day. The kings after David quickly forsook God. and God's righteousness and departed from being any type of serving shepherds over the people. They did not take on that role of a serving shepherd, but they lorded it over the people. And they took the people away from God, and they brought in all kinds of pagan practices and teachings, bowing down to false gods, sacrificing their own young children. But in Isaiah 40, we have comfort and good news prophesied. Let's turn to Isaiah 40. This chapter brings good news because it speaks of the coming Christ, both in his first and second comings. And in several places they overlap one another in the same chapter, the first coming and the second coming. Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says the God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare, other translations say her hard service is ended, that her iniquity, her sin is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So Israel has been punished now enough. Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And we know that John the Baptist cried out and announced the coming of the Messiah's first appearance. Now let's drop down to verse 10. Verse 10, behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, signifying his second coming, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So here we see Christ returning a second time, again as a shepherd, feeding his flock, gathering his lambs. And we picture this time of comfort and happiness every year as we gather for the Feast of Tabernacles. It's one of the prime meanings of that festival. Christ has returned, and good times now have been restored to Israel. Yet, even until that time comes in full reality, even now, before Christ returns, Christ is still today our good shepherd. He is the door and the voice that we follow. He is the one we look to for all of our spiritual and physical needs. We spoke of that earlier on in John 10. After Jesus in the flesh had died and was resurrected, he met with his disciples several times. Let's notice one of those occasions when Jesus met with his disciples after he was resurrected, John chapter 21. John 21, verse 14. John 21, verse 14. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So three times Christ gave Peter an active instruction to feed and tend to God's sheep. Several translations use, in place of tending my sheep, shepherding my sheep. Christ could have said the same. Shepherd my sheep. So we see here Peter, and by extension all the disciples, were given the responsibility now to be physical shepherds of God's flock, to care for and feed them. For 3.5 years, Jesus had set his disciples a good example of being a good shepherd over those who heard his voice. He was with them day in and day out. They saw his example. They knew how he lived. They couldn't quite understand it all yet. They hadn't received his spirit. But God's spirit was working with them. And now Christ was about to leave them. And disciples were to be a guide and an example then to the remaining believers. There were not a lot of believers at that point. But they were to now be a shepherd over those very few believers. Let's notice what Peter, Christ was speaking to Peter at that time. Let's notice what he wrote later on in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And Peter, again, is writing here. He says, the elders who are among you. So Peter is talking to them. I exhort, I urge you, I appeal to you. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, speaking to the elders, shepherd the flock of God, which is amongst you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion or being under pressure, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, Christ, appears at his return, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So Peter wrote, he understood, and he wrote that our elders in the church are to be shepherds and overseers of the flock. They are to nurture and guide us all into the paths of righteousness. Paul spoke along these same lines. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20, see what Paul says. Paul understood his role also. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Paul was making a trip to Jerusalem at this time. And he stopped off in the city of Miletus. Verse 17, Acts 20. From Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Now, according to one Bible dictionary that I referred to, Ephesus was north of Miletus, about 37 miles. So Paul had given orders, send someone up to Ephesus and bring the elders back. We need to have a meeting. Verse 18. And when they, the elders, had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews." Now down to verse 28. Verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, to the whole church, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." I won't read any further, but Paul was encouraging the local area elders from Ephesus to be strong in shepherding the church and to be very aware of wolves and false teachers who would attempt to scatter the sheep. And of course, that's been good advice down through all the centuries of God's New Testament church. There always has been and always will be, until Christ returns, false teachers and false shepherds alongside the flock of Christ. And sometimes they're very hard to distinguish. Christ will one day put an end to those who have evil and selfishness in their hearts. And a false shepherd has evil and selfishness in their heart. Final scripture. A time when ahead of us, when many, many will be saved. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 13. "Then one of the elders," now this is a heavenly elder, not a physical elder, a heavenly elder, "then one of the elders answered, saying to me," to John, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The Lamb is Jesus Christ. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." That's part of their job that they will have in being washed clean. "And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat." Verse 17, "For the Lamb, Christ, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." No more sadness. So good times are ahead for those who let themselves be led and fed by the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Christ. You know, God has called us out now as a first fruit to understand and be able to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Not all can hear that voice. Very soon, the physical shepherd that God has blessed us with and put over us for many, many years will be leaving our flock and going to tend a new flock who need him. God is sending a shepherd to them, to tend them, to feed them, to help them, to guide them. And we will be receiving a new shepherd who will be over us, to pastor us, to guide us into green pastures of righteousness. You know, the Greek word for pastor simply means shepherd. So a shepherd is a pastor is a shepherd. Yet, in this change of shepherds, in this change of pastors, our goal, our everyday goal in life has not changed. It's the same. It's the same. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, God has provided shepherds in our lives to help us accomplish that very goal. Every day that we get up, we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's our prime goal. And then we have sub-goals of maintaining our physical life, of course, below that. But our physical shepherds point us to the one good chief shepherd. They help us to accomplish that goal. Again, they point us to always the good shepherd, because only the good shepherd can grant us salvation. Physical shepherds can't do that. Physical shepherds come and physical shepherds go. And if you spend years and years and years in God's church, you see many physical shepherds. I have seen, there has been a half a dozen or more, 6 to 8 in my life, and I have gained from them all. So, we have to understand that as shepherds come and go, we have still our chief shepherd. And that is who we look to for salvation. Only that shepherd can grant us that next stage of life, the spiritual life that we all look forward to. So let's continue to worship God every day in strong faith, knowing that He will provide our every need, our every need and that we get ourselves into. You know, He doesn't promise to give us all that we want, but He does promise to supply our needs. So let's continue to worship God and have the faith that good sheep should have.